This is Radio MD COVID-19 Daily, your source for COVID-19 news from the front lines of healthcare. I'm Caitlin White. It's another beautiful Wednesday in quarantine. It's April 22nd. Happy Earth Day. After the news, we'll hear about optimism during the pandemic. Is it good? Is it effective? We'll also hear from some healthcare heroes in New Jersey who started a group collecting donations for frontline workers that is now nationwide. Stay tuned. Despite all of the Amazon purchases I've been making, retail shopping is nosediving, with stores closed and social distancing measures being implemented. Radio MD Scott Webb has this report.
The U.S. economy has been hit hard by COVID-19. Retail spending is in a free fall, nosediving a record 8.7% in March as more companies continue to furlough workers and stores, malls, and restaurants remain shuttered across the country during the pandemic. Best Buy has temporarily furloughed 51,000 employees, and department store giant JCPenney, a company that was formed in 1902, is considering bankruptcy. Though Americans are still spending a fair amount on food and online deliveries, it's not nearly enough to offset the drops in clothing and accessories, furniture, autos, parts, and gasoline. Reporting for Radio MD News, I'm Scott Webb.
Everyone is itching to get out of quarantine safely, but what does that look like? Radio MD's Bill Klaproth has more on antibody testing.
So testing a person's blood for antibodies is said to indicate whether that person has already been exposed to the coronavirus or not, potentially giving that person immunity. In theory, these individuals could safely return to work without being at risk of contracting the virus again. Sounds pretty good, right? Well, not so fast. Researchers at this point are uncertain whether the antibody test is truly a marker for immunity, and if so, for how long? So will an antibody test allow us to go back to work or school? At this point, it shows promise, but like the coronavirus, there's still a long way to go. For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
As the novel of Zoom meetings and Skype calls begins to wear off, why not mix it up a bit? How about bringing a goat into the mix? Or maybe a llama? Goat Tomb Meeting is a new service run by the Sweet Farm Animal Sanctuary in Half Moon Bay, California, near San Francisco. Nate Salpeter founded the farm with his wife and told NPR that 60 to 70% of their revenue has gone out the door. So the video rentals were a quick way to make some of that money back. You can find out more about the animal sanctuary or schedule your own conference call with a goat at sweetfarm.org. So what do you think? Does it pay to be an optimist? Should we have an optimistic viewpoint during a pandemic? Bill Klaproth caught up with a friend of his, Paul Campbell, Executive Director of Healthcare at Kellogg and a Clinical Associate Professor at Kellogg School of Management, to discuss.
So yes, Paul Campbell is a friend of mine. So when I saw an article that he wrote in LinkedIn titled, "Are You an Optimist? If so, be careful," I thought, what is he talking about? So the article is based on the Stockdale paradox, so I had to find out more. So I called him up and I asked him to explain this article and to tell us, what is the Stockdale paradox?
Well, it's a paradox in that one would normally think you'd want to have optimism in a moment of crisis. But the paradox is that optimism can work against you if it's not grounded in a belief that it's the long-term fight and in the end you're going to be okay. So you have, I guess, an optimism that you'll fight through it, but you can't deny the reality that you're living in.
So it sounds like what you're saying is optimism can work against you if it's not grounded in reality, hence your title, Are You an Optimist? If so, be careful. Because if we set unrealistic expectations such as, yeah, this summer is going to be fine and there's going to be gatherings and concerts and sporting events, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment because we don't know what's going to happen. So how should we look at optimism in a time like this?
Well, I think it's to a certain extent, you want to be optimistic that in the final analysis, you'll see your family again, that you'll get through this particular crisis, that there'll be, you know, happiness in the future, but you can't set artificial deadlines and you can't think of it as, well, it'll happen in this particular way or that. You just have to have faith that you'll emerge and things will be okay again.
Okay, so be optimistic that things will get back to normal and we will have that life that we had before COVID-19. So that's the right optimistic viewpoint we should have.
Exactly.
And then even more so optimistically, can we think that some good will come out of this?
Yeah, absolutely. We've all heard about the idea of post-traumatic stress disorder, and there's no question that we're all undergoing certain types of trauma, especially medical professionals and people who have fallen ill to the COVID disease. But there's also a concept called post-traumatic growth, right? And that comes from the idea that people who find a sense of purpose and develop, you know, an appreciation for having gone through a very difficult time, coming out on the other side, and maybe having a greater appreciation for relationships that they rekindled during this time, or just a greater appreciation for the simple things in life that they, you know, they sat down and played a board game with their family that they maybe hadn't done in years, and they realized how much they enjoyed it. So people can grow through these crises and come out on the other side feeling better, stronger. So there's a certain optimism there as well, I guess.
So look for the good and potential growth opportunities even while in a trying time like this.
Exactly.
You're a wealth of knowledge. Thank you. Well, eventually when our beloved Cubbies start playing again, we'll have to catch a game together and cheer for another World Series sometime in our future.
Even if it takes another 108 years, we're gonna remain optimistic that there will be another World Series in Chicago.
Now that's real optimism. All right. Thanks, Paul.
Okay. Talk soon.
For Radio MD News, I'm Bill Klaproth.
Let us know what you think. Are you an optimist, or is it just too hard given the state of things right now? Shoot us an email and let us know your thoughts. Our healthcare hero spotlight today brings us to New Jersey, where Liz Bernich and Gina McGuire started FLAG, or the Frontline Appreciation Group, to coordinate community donations of masks and food to help out busy first responders. So Liz, tell us about how and why you started this organization.
Sure. So I had seen a friend post basically a picture of a meal plan for the Huntington Hospital Meals Group on Long Island right as things were getting really sketchy with the pandemic. And I thought that was a really great idea. I could see the benefit of supporting the local businesses and keeping the front lines fueled and loved. So I sent out a quick Facebook post to our community group asking if other people would want to join in and do the same. Here in New Jersey. And 2 hours later, I mean, the interest was astounding. And Gina and I got connected the next day. Gina and my husband worked together at Madison High School. And like Chatham, Madison is a very giving community. So she automatically thought that this would resonate with her community as well. And just given that we're so closely aligned and we both are supported by Morristown Hospital, mm-hmm. we felt like it would make sense to collaborate. So therein FLAG was born.
So Gina, tell me a little bit about the community response. It sounds like a ton of people were involved right off the get-go.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for anyone to believe that this is by way of Liz and I is crazy, because it's truly these two towns and all the people that came together to support this idea. I mean, it was amazing to see just the immediate response of our communities. And not that I was surprised by it, because we are two towns who are very giving and generous and supportive. We often kind of come to each other's aid and support each other in that way. So I wasn't surprised that the response would be there. I just was shocked at how overwhelming it was. And I believe that to be part of everyone just kind of being cooped up in their homes and feeling a little helpless, looking for a way to be helpful in this weird time. And it really took off from there.
Gina, tell us a bit about, you know, the stuff you're collecting, what you're doing, all the different people who are involved. I know you guys have Girl Scouts. You have these things called Sewing Angels. Tell us about all the different stuff you're doing.
So one of my favorite things about this is that our group on Facebook became kind of this networking platform for, you know, you have all these people who have come join this group. So these are helpful people. They are people who are inspired to volunteer, and they're all kind of in one group. So from there, we've had a bunch of little subset groups develop. I think the biggest and maybe most impactful has been the Frontline Sewing Angels. That's led by Christine Preston, and I know she would feel the same in that no sort of individual credit. I mean, there's 80 plus sewers in this group, and they are churning out, I think the last count was somewhere over 7,000 hand-sewn masks that they have pumped out into the communities, into the hospitals. Anyone that kind of raises a need, they literally have masks the next day or 2 days later. I mean, these people are incredible in what they've been able to do. A good thing to note, too, is that although they are under kind of a flag, like they're kind of in collaboration with flag, they are not funded by flag. So they have their own GoFundMe campaign. People can donate fabric, they can donate elastic. It's really quite an operation. It's crazy. So good. The other thing, community members have gotten involved with making these fuel boxes, which are super cute. A lot of people have taken it to become like kind of a craft that they do with their kids. They have either lunch bags or little takeout, like to-go cardboard boxes, little mini anything really. It doesn't have to go. It could be a party favor bag, but they put little snacks and waters and mints, and the outside is decorated with all inspiring messages and messages of gratitude and kind of like keep going and we see you, we appreciate you. Those have been such a tremendous gift to so many, and that includes the DPW workers, the postal workers, the people at the local pharmacy. You know, just those have gone out in droves to the community, and the response from those has been awesome as well.
Now, Liz, I know Flag isn't just in New Jersey. Tell me about how it's grown.
Oh, my gosh. It's unbelievable. So we are in 24 states and have a total of 89 chapters at this point. And every day we get notices of other chapters that were either already formed and just hadn't told us, or they are up, getting up and running. We're encouraging collaboration across local areas if there already is a group, but someone else wants to join up. You know, just providing a little bit of a framework and basic idea for people to follow has given them such an easy model to follow. And that's really, to us, been so rewarding to see. There's only so much that Gina and I can do in Richmond, Virginia, but we have a team there on the ground who's now handling Richmond, Virginia, for example. And New York City is, you know, a very complicated place to cover, but we do have a team and they're attacking needs as quickly as they can, fundraising very actively. So in some cases, it's a small group. In other cases, it's a larger group of volunteers. And the range of people handling or leading those chapters is really, really cool. There are high school students, there are college students, there are people in their middle age, I'll call them. And then there are people who are over 60 running groups. And I think it has been so amazing to see the leadership willingness come out of this and people saying, I just need to do something good. And none of us are doing it for any compensation or pay or recognition. We're all just doing it to reward the people on the front lines, keep our local businesses going. We all know the impact of those local businesses faltering and how many more unemployed people there would be if we weren't helping them in some way. So it's been amazing to see the outpouring of leadership here for sure.
Great. Is there anything else that you guys want to add? I guess just as, you know, a call out for if people want to start their own or how they can help out.
I was just going to say, if anybody's interested in more information or starting a flag in their area, they should go to our website, which is flag2020.org. There's a lot of information there to get you started. And then Liz and I are always available should anybody have further questions after reading what's on the website. You know, again, keep the donations coming, not only to our chapter, but to a chapter that's local to you. You can go on the website and find all the different chapters listed. When you click on their link, it will bring you likely to their Facebook page, and then you should be able to find the donation information from there. But I would encourage people to go online, look for somewhere close to you that's, you know, doing this initiative, and make a donation to get them, keep them going so that they can keep the front line going.
$20 to flag is, it's a small out-of-pocket cost, but and smaller than someone doing takeout for their family at a restaurant, but it goes a long way. So we're stretching the dollars. Each one of our chapters is using a modified, like, smaller meal portion with restaurants. And so, for example, $20 buys three meals. And that's one of the, we're not shortchanging the restaurants, but we're using, again, smaller portions, and we're encouraging restaurants to use what they have, what they have access to, what they know is like a favorite for their restaurant amongst their customers, so that they can use this as a side form of advertising, but also just a less expensive way for them to participate as well. So with the $6 to $7 budget, we're still able to offer the restaurants a bit of profit in there, and at least a way to keep their workers working, which is so helpful.
Like they said, you can find a flag chapter near you or start one in your community by going online to flag2020.org. That's flag2020.org. And this has been another episode of Radio MD COVID-19 Daily. If you want to suggest a topic for us to cover, or you want to answer one of our survey questions, email us at covid19daily@radiomd.com. That's covid19daily@radiomd.com. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow afternoon. I'm Caitlin White. Stay home and stay healthy.